Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Things that I purpose, saith the Lord, they shall surely come to pass. saying now is the time, and this is the day, and by my spirit I'm making the way, and by my spirit you'll begin to rejoice, and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forth into a new way, you'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction, for I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Mighty, mighty, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. What an awesome, awesome God we serve, my brother, my sister. Hallelujah. We are grateful. Hallelujah for his love, his mercy that endure forever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother L.V. Zapata. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are grateful for the opportunity to be here sharing God's word. Amen. With God's people. Amen. Before the trumpet sound. Before the last trumpet sound. Amen. Shalom, Brother Strata, Brother Michael, Brother Joseph, Eli, Reverend Brian. Shalom to each and one of you listening in the chat room, on your cell phones, on your computer. Amen. Welcome. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I hope tonight God will speak to our life through his word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. Praise you, God. I believe we are not done with the topics about the 3 days of darkness that is going to come upon the earth. My brother and sister, I believe very, very soon God revealed it to us. And this past week with an urgency, he put an urgency in our spirit that the 3 days of darkness are about to come to pass and that we should be alerted. We should be watching and praying that we will be found worthy to escape. We will be ready to be changed, be transformed into our glorified body as the last trumpet, as the Apostle Paul says, hallelujah, this will be, and this will come about, this will happen, my brother and sister. Amen. So God wants us to be ready. God wants us to be looking for it. I heard that God loves heavenly-minded people. He loves when his children, his people, are heavenly-minded, thinking, speaking, and meditating, my brother and sister, about the things of heaven, my brother and sister, the things to come, his kingdom to come, what he has in store, what he has planned for each and one of us. I love when we, my brother and sister, amen, hallelujah, love to seek out the things he has prepared for us, the things he promised us we would have. Amen. We've been doing the same, brother. We've been searching, researching more in regard to the 3 days of darkness, and I have a few things to share with some of you. Why is it that the last revelation of the 3 days of darkness
It was about 10:15, 10:17 in the morning when the Lord's given me, Shalom, Sister Renee, this revelation last week about the 3 days of darkness. And I would like to share what I found in the Word in regard to the 3 days of darkness. I was speaking with Brother Ben, and as I was speaking, I was looking for this verse in the Bible online. And when I found the verse, the Lord says, this is it. I want you to talk about this. And it's found in Matthew 16. My brother and sister, I was looking for this confirmation. We were talking about the red cloud, a red sky, before the 3 days of darkness. And I was trying to find out if that was biblical, if that was in the Bible, my brother and sister. And as I was looking for it and we were talking about it, amen, when I got to Matthew 16, the Bible says in Matthew 16:1 that the Pharisee also, with the Sadducee, came, testing beside him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it's evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. I want you to notice what Jesus is speaking about here, because as people can discern weather before it rains, you know the formation of the cloud, okay? Even before a hurricane, the cloud turns in such a weird and different way than normally, and you're able to tell when it's bad weather. And the Lord said this to the Sadducee and Pharisee, you are able to tell when how the weather is going to be, okay? When it's fair weather, the sky is red. And we know there's a reddish sky at the end of rain sometime. Amen. We're able to discern that, my brother and sister. So, verse 3, and in the morning, remember, 10 a.m. is in the morning, 10:15 in the morning. That's when the Lord showed me the beginning of the 3 days of darkness. And I said the beginning because the day started in the morning, but I was not aware, I didn't know, until these things began to come about, all these events began to happen right before my eyes, that we were in the first day of the 3 days of darkness in the revelation of the Lord. Amen. So in the morning, verse 3 of Matthew 16:3, it will be fall weather today, bad weather, for the sky is red and lowering. Okay? And oh, you hypocrite, you can discern the face of the sky, but you now discern the signs of the time, okay? And when the Lord, when Messiah indicates this way, it is for us to study. It is for us to meditate on it and have the Lord guide us on this. The Lord spoke to me and said that he wanted me to come and talk about this. This is what I want you to talk about, he says to me. He spoke to me. And so we're not done yet with the 3 days of darkness. I don't know if tonight will be the last days, but I tell you, there's so much to be learned by brother and sister. We find a few things in the Bible, and this is one of the verses the Lord says we should consider in regard to the 3 days of darkness, because it's going to be a red sky. And he wanted them to see this. He wanted them to recognize this, but they were not. Because what they were tying the justice, notice he mentioned the red sky twice, but on the second, it's bad weather, a storm, pointing to judgment. That's what that was, pointing to judgment. They cannot discern through the bad weather or through the change of the sky, the judgment. And Jesus called him hypocrite, hypocrite, because discerning comes from God. God is the one who reveals the things that are to come about. And when you're walking with him in relationship and closing righteousness and repentance and relationship as a son, as a daughter, God will reveal to you to dream or vision as he promised him he would do it in the last days, what is about to happen. And that's why God is giving us dream. God is giving us discerning our spirit that this judgment of the 3 days of darkness, my brother and sister, as it happened in Egypt, Exodus, my brother and sister, 10, verse 21, when God came to Moses and said unto Moses, reach out your hand toward the sky. Notice he's pointing toward the sky. It doesn't say to the heaven. The sky is specifically the sky, because are the sky turning red? That's what the Lord is saying to us. Okay? Disguise. Yes, sister, we'll pray for you. Sister Beatrice asking for prayer. The skies are turning red. And the Lord, when he spoke to Moses, stretch your hand to the skies are going to turn red before the 3 days of darkness. As a sign of judgment for the next 3 days, the day before, our skies are going to be red. Red, red, definable red. You and I should be able as a believer to discern the 3 days of darkness coming. So when the day before, the night before, the afternoon before, we should be able to see the red sky and say, okay, the 3 days of darkness begins tomorrow. An example, my brother and sister, as a believer, this is important to the Lord, because he calls the Pharisee and scribe hypocrite. My brother and sister, actors, as they call them in Hollywood, actors. Actors, because you're looking for bad weather or fair weather, but you're not looking to what I'm about to do. You're not discerning what I'm about to do. You're not discerning my judgment, the Lord is saying to them. You cannot discern my judgment, okay? In my judgment, he's saying, I can show you through the cloud. Because why the cloud? Because this is exactly how he did through Moses. Stretch your hand to the cloud. Stretch your hand to the cloud, to the sky. And there'll be darkness over the land of Egypt. The sky, the cloud, will show us the 3 days of darkness a day before it happens. My brother and sister, God gave the children of Israel that whole day through Moses to speak this and for them to prepare to go into their homes, in their house, and stay there together. And we have to stay there in our house together in prayer, praying, close our windows, close our doors, and don't come out. God don't want us to come out. He has said it through several of his prophets. This is how he wants us to go about this 3 days of darkness. There will be evil on the land. Evil will be unleashed on the land that will go out and do harm. And although God can protect us and is protecting us and can deliver us, obedient to God is better than sacrifice. This is not for you to tempt God. Because how Matthew 16 began? They began tempting the Lord. Again, verse 16. The Pharisees and Sadducees came testing, which another translation say, tempting. They came testing or tempting the Lord. My brother and sister, you see the attitude they have? Oh, let's see what he's going to say. Let's see what he's going to do. Let's see if he's going to give us a sign. Because discernment with God is of your spiritual life relationship with him, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. It is about relationship with him. In other words, if you're walking close with him and he's revealing to you the things he wants you to know. You will know a day ahead by looking at the sky, the cloud, that the 3 days of darkness begins tomorrow when that day comes. And he calls them hypocrite, hypocrite, because they were not walking right with God. They should have. That's why he called them hypocrite. They should have known. They should have discerned. They should understand the judgment. They understood fair day or bad weather, but did not understand through the sign of the cloud the judgment. And God put it in his Torah. He put it in his Tanakh. He's put it in his Bible. And they spent all their lives studying the Bible. That's what the Pharisees and scribes did. They spent all their lives studying the Bible and teaching the word of God to the people. And Messiah says to them, why can you not discern the judgment that is about to come through the cloud? Because the formation of the clouds are different when these judgments come, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And he answered and said unto them, when the evening you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, will be fair weather, for the sky is red and low rain. My brothers, are two different formations of the sky, of the cloud. Fair weather, the skies are high. Worse weather, the skies are low. The clouds are lower. My brother and sister, two different formations. And this is turning you into a weather person right away from the Bible, from the word of God. My brother and sister, lowering. It's all you hypocrite. You cannot discern walking in relationship. The face of the skies, which we will say the sign or the formation. The face is the formation of the cloud. How they are formed indicate the type of weather. And this formation of the cloud for the 3 days of darkness are totally different than other formation. And that's where you and I are going to see the difference when they're formed in the cloud, my brother and sister. And before 10 a.m., before the night before, they're formed. It's a day before the 3 days of darkness that they're formed differently. Again, God says to Moses, Exodus 21, Exodus 10, 21, reach out your hand to the sky, and there will be darkness over the land of Egypt. Darkness so thick it can be felt. Notice how when you're going to have a storm, my brother and sister, the cloud becomes low. But when this formation comes, they come even lower. The Lord is teaching us to discern. The sky is going to be so low before the 3 days of darkness that it's unquestionable that the 3 days of darkness begins tomorrow, is what he's teaching us here, my brother and sister. It's totally different than what you have seen before, hallelujah, what you have experienced before. The 3 days of darkness, the clouds are different because the judgment begins as before a thunderstorm begins. Or a tornado begins, there's a different formation. You can look up video online on YouTube. Before there's a tornado form, you are going to see a different formations of the cloud. They begin to go around like in circle, and they come lower to the earth than before. And the tornado begin to destroy. The 3 days of darkness, cloud comes in the similar formation. The only thing they're not round like a tornado. They're just covering the cloud, the skies, but they're becoming low, terrifying. In another word, it's a total different formation God is saying to us. Our formations of cloud that you are going to able to discern the difference from any other cloud you've seen before. If I say to you, raise your hand, how many of you have gone through the 3 days of darkness? None of you can raise your hand. Because you were not around in the time, you were not around 5,000 years ago. when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. You don't remember, okay? But through the word of God, we can study, discern, and understand what went about during their time, because it is in the same form, same formation as a cloud. Again, hallelujah, there will be, God said, darkness over the land of Egypt. Darkness so thick it can be felt. Have you ever had darkness so thick in your life growing up? I don't know how old are you, that you felt it. You felt it. Oh, I can feel that. Remember when people say, oh, I can feel that. Have you ever had such a darkness, such a cloud next to you that you felt it? My brother and sister, most of you are saying no. Exactly. This experience is going to be different than what you ever had because you haven't gone through this experience. That's what God's saying. That's what God's saying to us through his word, my brother and sister. Moshe reached out his hand to the sky, and there was a thick darkness in the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. Notice that, my brother and sister? He stretched his hand. He did what God told him to do. In the next 3 days, there was 3 days of darkness, thick cloud, like they had not experienced before themselves. They themselves before this have not experienced this. Now they were experiences. Now they're going through something different, something that a darkness that can be felt, my brother and sister. So that red sky, it's going to be different before the 3 days of darkness. It is for us to take it serious and say, I know I'm not supposed to go out tomorrow because the signs is clear in the sky. You and I are going to say. It's very important. Very important to be able to discern before this happens. People cannot see each other. This is another part of this thick cloud, my brother and sister. Because the day of the 3 days of darkness, we won't be able to see each other. We will be next to each other. I was next to people right there in front of me. And I could not see their face. We could not see each other. So it's totally different than anything you and I have experienced before. And this is important. This is important. This is why we cannot go out of our house. Because if we cannot see each other, so I see people crashing into one another, into trees, posts, homes, my brother and sister. Why? Because they cannot see. After the windshield, they cannot see anymore. The light was so dim, it wasn't helping. For some reason, electricity or electrical, like flashlight, become useless in the 3 days of darkness. I don't know why, but electricity is useless. The only thing useless are candles. For some reason, we might have to look at this more in the Bible and study this even more, but for some reason, electricity is useless. My brothers become useless in the 3 days of darkness, and candles are works better. You can see more with candles. It might be, my brother and sister, because candle is fire. It's fire you're putting. Like in hell, there's fire. You can see with the fire in hell, only with the fire. There's no light in hell, but through with the fire you can see. So I believe that's what that is. That thick darkness is so demonic that if you light a fire like a candle, you'll be able to see. And that's important to know. To us, that's good knowledge that we can use going through the 3 days of darkness. So candles are better than flashlight, because a lot of people think flashlight. But I noticed that the light of the car, which are much stronger than flashlight, my brother and sister, were so dim and they were useless. And they were not helping people at all. It was not helping them. So that, to me, is a message to us. Forget about flashlight. Forget about your home electricity, your light bulb and all that, your lamps, because they're not going to work for you in the 3 days of darkness. Candles will work best. So I will advise you tonight to order candles. order a box of candles, order three or four candles. Some candles can last 24 hours, 8 hours. It's a 3 days. In 3 days, it's what, 48 plus 24 more. It's up there in hours. So calculate the hour of 3 days and buy enough candles for 3 days. And if there are more in your house than one person, each and one of you may need a candle to go to the bathroom, maybe go to the kitchen to get some food. I will advise people to fast those days. Thank you, 72 hours. I will advise people to fast those days if possible. And ask for in the 3 days where you're not fasting anymore, or you probably fasted the day before. You can also make your own candle, someone said. I don't know how to make my own candle, so yes, you can look it up. So do prepare. Do prepare well the candles you need. Have them ready, though. Imagine if you are in your house, don't put the candle in the basement or in the shed or in the attic. Don't put them in the attic. Don't put them in the basement. Put them where, okay, yes, even lamps with oil may work as good as candles. Kerosene lamp works very good also because it's fire. Okay, I order a kerosene lamp that should help us. If we put it in the middle of the house in the living room, we should get light, or at least enough light for us to get together. So keep that. Oil lamps, they work very good. Yeah, use that. Okay, and have them ready. Have them in a place where if you cannot see in your house because it's so pitch black, you can at least walk like the blind, knowing where it is to find it. Okay? Where you can, if you cannot see, think about it. Think about it, you in your house, and you need your candle. The 3 days of dark can begin, it's getting pitch black. You cannot even see your hand practically, or your family that are next to you talking to you. What do you do? You need to walk with a candle. You know where you put them. Don't put them in the basement. Don't put them in the attic. Don't put them in the shed outside where you have to go out of your house to get them. All these emergency things must be close to us, available, where we can get them easily. My brother and sister, inside the house. So plan ahead. Where you say, well, I don't need to get in my house because I know they're here close to me, in your bedroom, if possible, in your kitchen. Have them where you won't have to go far. You're still in your house. All your doors are locked up. Your windows are locked up. And cover your window as much as possible as you can. Try to avoid looking outside. Because while you were, or your children looking outside, please. This is important. I know it's 3 days. It is a long time. 3 days is a long time to keep your children quiet, to keep your children focused. Don't be surprised if their tablet don't work, if their cell phone don't work, if the TV don't work, and if you turn on the TV and it's useless. You cannot even see the screen. It's so dark. Okay? And you're trying to put up the light on the TV, still nothing. You're playing with the remote, still nothing. Leave it alone. Leave it alone and focus on the Lord. Pray. Ask the Lord to send billions and trillions of warriors, angels, archangels to protect you and your family, my brother and sister. Okay? I wanted to move on to the next topic, but the Lord wants me talking about this. He wants us to be focused on Him on this, getting ready for this to come, my brother and sister. Because it seems a lot of people are not taking it serious and are not preparing. And God wants us to prepare and be ready before it comes. Once it comes, it's too late. My brother and sister, you need to prepare before. And so, again, we also talked about in the 3 days of darkness, which we're going to read a few verses, and then we'll talk about what will be happening during the 3 days of darkness. Okay? So let me finish. People cannot see each other. This is Exodus 10:23, and no one went anywhere for 3 days. Notice that no one went anywhere, could not see each other, did not go anywhere. Notice what God wants us to do. He knows we're not going to be able to see each other, have candles, have lamps. Okay? Now, not going anywhere. This is important. Because this is what God told Moses that was about to happen and how they will have to be for 3 days. They will have to stay inside. They cannot go anywhere. Now, you do not want to see what's going to be outside your door or window. Okay? Because, believe me, you don't want to see the face of darkness. My brother and sister, it's horrible. It's ugly. You cannot imagine how ugly and horrible they look. And you don't want to see their face, my brother and sister. Because they can impart fear like you not imagine. You probably won't be able to sleep after that, so don't look on it. My brother and sister, very important. Okay? And you tell your children the same. No one went anywhere for 3 days. But other people of Israel had light in their homes, wisdom to the wise. My brother and sister, word to the wise. Word to the wise. Have light in your home. Have light in your home. Have candles, lamps. Have it. Have it. Have it ready. What did the wise virgin there, Matthew 25? They prepare the lamp. They trip the lamp. They prepare it. It's another translation. They prepare themselves with the extra oil. They were ready. And whenever hour the bridegroom will come, they were ready. And that's what God is saying to us. Be ready. Now, the Lord is coming to the earth in the 3 days of darkness. He showed me this the other night. Him coming to transform his bride. My brother and sister, he called us by name. By name. And at the moment he called us by name, we were changed and transformed. But we need to be in the place he wants us to be, in our homes. My brother and sister, this is going to be awesome. Hallelujah. So Jesus says to the Pharisee, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? He called them hypocrites and then said to them that they could not discern. Hallelujah. They cannot discern the signs of the time. This is a sign of the 3 days of darkness coming. That God wants us to discern it, to know it, to see it and say, that's the 3 days of darkness beginning tomorrow. Okay? That's the 3 days of darkness beginning tomorrow. Each and one of us should be able to say that. We have spoken about this plenty of this. My brother and sister, it's important. Hallelujah. And then he says to these people, the wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign given unto it, but the signs of the prophet Jonah. He left them and departed. What is the sign of the prophet Jonah? Jonah was in the belly of the fish, great fish, for 3 days and 3 nights in darkness. Are you listening? Jonah was in darkness for 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah cannot leave. Jonah cannot move. Jonah cannot go anywhere. He was in total darkness. His hope was in God. He was repenting. Jonah was repenting. Jonah, the Bible said, cry out of the belly of the fish unto the Lord. My brother and sister, why did Jonah cry out? Why did Jonah pray? Because at this moment, Jonah understood that it was not in his control to be able to do anything, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There was nothing Jonah could do in the situation he find himself. Hallelujah. Jonah 2 says and say, I cry by the reason of my affliction unto the Lord. He heareth me. Out of the belly of hell cry I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and flood compassed me about all thy billows. Thy way hath passed over me. My brother and sister, Jonah is recognizing that everything that he's in or going through has been created by God, and that God is bringing this judgment upon the earth. And you and I can only trust, which is what God wants us to do, hope, believe, and wait on the Lord. That's what we can do in the 3 days of darkness. Be in prayer. Be in repenting. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Please forgive my sin, my trespasses. Hallelujah. Please hold my book, keep in record in heaven, Lord Jesus. And repent. And really ask him to cleanse us, purify us. Okay? Thank you, sister. That's another thing. If you have animals, okay, they might go crazy. Keep them close to you so you can calm them down. Okay? Keep your animal close to you. Keep your pet close to you, your bird, your dog, your cat. Don't let your cat go outside in the 3 days of darkness. He may be killed. Don't let your dog go outside in the 3 days of darkness. He may be killed. Don't let your bird go outside in the 3 days of darkness. He may be killed. Remember this. Some of us that have chicken, let's keep our chicken in prayer, because that's going to be a testing for us. Okay? Someone said, what about homeless people? Pray for any homeless person you know. Let them know 3 days of darkness. So come and pray for them. That will be the advice for that. My brother and sister, keep your family in prayer. Ask the Lord to send his angel running about them to protect them and keep them. These are 3 days of testing unto the earth. God's going to cleanse the earth, okay? Specifically, sister, if you pray for the Lord to protect them, can protect them through your prayer. That I know. But if they are to die or be killed in the 3 days of darkness, there's another thing. If the Lord is calling them to repent, they have refused the Lord, my brother and sister, then if they're supposed to die, or they're appointed to die in that day, they're going to die. Okay? Just remember that the 3 days of darkness are coming. Tell your family about it. Pray for them. Remember, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. You praying, interceding for them, God can keep them, God can protect them. Remember that. Our prayers are not useless. They're powerful in the Lord, my brother and sister. So keep that in mind. So Jonah cried unto the Lord. Then I say, I am cast out of thy sight. Yea, I will look again toward thy holy temple. His faith began to be increased. I believe in the 3 days of darkness, my brother and sister, the Lord can protect anybody you pray for. He can protect animal, anyone. My brother and sister, Jonah's faith in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, his faith began to increase. Jesus showed me back in Massachusetts, I remember years ago, before the revival, he showed me. In other words, when people will go through the 3 days of darkness, which is before the revival, people's faith, after all these people have died and been killed by these beasts, and those that are left, that they knew they were not right, but God spared them, I saw them getting on their knees all over the state, all over the country this is going to happen. Jesus was showing me this. And they were raising their hand toward heaven, repenting. I'm sorry, God. I am so sorry, God. They knew, and God, the Lord said this to me. They are going to know this is done by the Lord, done by God. They are going to know. It's not that. And so when we go out in the revival to evangelize this, then, my brother and sister, okay, they're going to receive the Lord. They're going to get right with God right away. It's not going to be a hustle. This is not going to be an argumental evangelism that we're going to do. No. Sisters, seek the Lord. Pray to God. Fast for them. If you feel so worried and concerned for the homeless, the Lord can protect them. Remember, pray for them. Pray for, that the Lord will protect them. It's very important. My brother and sister, God has given everyone the same opportunity. The same gospel that is preached to them is preached to us. Same opportunity. My brother and sister, pray for them. If God has given you a concern for the homeless in the 3 days of darkness, this is going to be a great testing for everyone. Because he's removing the wicked and the evil from our street, from our city, from our state, from our country, from our world. In the 3 days of darkness, this is exactly what's happening. God is removing evil from the earth. And he knows who are evil. He knows who are wicked. Okay? He knows who they are. And he's going to cleanse the earth, because you imagine now, if you and I are changing, transformed now to go out to evangelize people, what do people say? Oh, get out of here with that. Oh, I'm glad you got changed and transformed, but leave me alone. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Okay? So, this is what I'm saying to you. God's going to get them ready to hear what we have to say from God when we are changed and transformed. This is not going to be a hustle, an argumental anymore. No. No more argument. God's going to humble them. When they come alive through the 3 days of darkness, they're going to know it's by the miracle, by the mercy and grace of God that they made it through. My brother and sister, it's the only way they're going to make it. And if you're looking for them and they did not make it, the beast ate them, that was it. That was it for them. My brother and sister, praise you, Jesus. So Jesus says to the Pharisee, a wicked and adulterous generation seeking a sign. You see the condition of people? It's the same condition of today, wicked and adultery. My brother and sister, and they're seeking God. They're seeking to know. My brother and sister, think about it. They're seeking God to give them a sign. Oh, we want to know when is this going to happen. Like, people, when do you think this is going to happen? God is telling us to be ready for it, and you want to know when it's going to happen? Again, what did Jesus say? Hallelujah. This adulterer, wicked and adulterous generation seeking the sign, there should be no sign given to it. You see, the wicked and adulterous generation that are today, God's not giving them a sign. God's giving the sign to his people to know and discern. You see the difference? He's not giving it to them. He's giving it to his people. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. So remember the signs of Jonah, Jesus said. Same signs of Jonah. Jonah was in darkness for 3 days. Remember how he ended up there in disobedience. If Jonah would have gone to Nineveh to share the word, he would have been fine. He didn't have to be in that. He probably could have been in the other 3 days of darkness in Nineveh. Different, in a house, in a home, probably. Moses and the people stayed in their home in the 3 days of darkness. My brother and sister, God have mercy on them, keep them and protect them, and they have lights. And back then, the lamp were candles or lamps of oil. They were fine. Hallelujah. Now, if people don't believe you, pray for them. Don't concern yourself. Don't worry, because you will sin if you worry. If you worry, you will sin, sister. Don't worry, because you will sin. Trust the Lord for their protection, to protect your family during the 3 days of darkness, that if they go out, even after you told them so, God will keep them and God will protect them. Put them in the hand of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And there should be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. See you. Goodbye. I told you what's going to happen. This is it. 3 days of darkness, like in Jonah. He walked away. Huh. They wanted more. Well, wait a minute, Lord. Can you give us some more? Can you tell us more? How this is going to, at what time, Lord? No. The signs of the prophet Jonah. That's it. That's what I'm giving you. That's it. No more. Praise you, Jesus. Because if you sat there with them, they're going to end up arguing with you. And Jesus said the condition they were in. They were not in condition to discern and understand. When people are in sin, are backsliding, and you try to explain these things to them, oh, they don't want to hear it. Or even if they try, they're not going to understand unless they repent and turn away from their wicked ways. So don't sit there trying to convince someone who doesn't want to listen. And the Lord was not about to waste his time with them because they were not ready to listen. And so take the example of what Jesus did. Goodbye. He departed, the Bible says. See ya. I'm not going to be here hours explaining this to you. Luke 1:79. To shine on those in darkness, living in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to this now. Brother Ben shared this with me, which was awesome. Amos 8:9. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Look how the 3 days of darkness are scheduled to come about. Amos 8:9. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, I will cause the sun to go down at noon. Are you listening? The sun is going down at noon. This is why, when I was there at 10 in the morning, my brother and sister, I noticed it wasn't too dark. It was a 50% dark. And by noontime, totally, 100%. Darkness, where you could see nothing. Nothing you could see at noon. And I didn't understand this. And then Brother Ben, we were talking about this yesterday, and he mentioned this verse of 8:9, which really surprised me. I'm like, wow, Brother Ben, that is really good. Okay? Because then I understood what the Lord showed me. My brother, everything is in the Word of God. Can you... It is awesome. Everything for this life and the life to come is in the Word of God, my brother and sister. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, I will cause the sun to go down at noon. I will darken the earth in a clear, what did he say? Day. I will darken the sun in a clear day. Isn't that amazing? Everything is in the Word of God in a clear day, and that's what I noticed. It was clear in the morning. In order to tell them, by 10 a.m. it's 50% dark, and by 12 you can see nothing. Totally dark. And then this brother came and shared this verse with me. I'm like, my Lord, it came to my mind right away. Everything is in his Word. Everything. Everything, my brother insisted. This is another 3,000 year of word right there in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, God, for those that share what God has given to them too. My brother insisted. Knowing and understanding that Brother Elby doesn't know everything. The Lord Jesus does, God does. And if we all ask the Lord for more, then all we can share with one another the information, the revelation, and then it's all knowledge and wisdom that will help us. So I thank Brother Ben for this. So and at noontime, on that first day, the sun is completely darkened right there. So come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in a clear day. That is amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus. And then Jeremiah 6:4 confirms that, prepare ye word against her, which is Babylon, arise. Let us go out at noon. Woe to us, for the day goes away, for the shadow of the evening are stretched out. What is happening in that day? Jeremiah gives us, the prophet, a good understanding of what goes about. The shadow are being stretched out. Darkness are being stretched out over the earth. my brothers and sisters. And so that's why from 12 noon on, in the evening, the shadows are being stretched out completely. This total pitch black, a darkness that can be felt all over the earth. And I heard people saying, what is this? Where does this come from? Can anyone explain this? People had all kinds of questions in the 3 days of darkness, my brother and sister. And I remember my wife saying on the phone to the teacher, my son teacher, my husband talked about it in his program on the radio about this, that this will come. But I'm a Christian. I never heard about this. Oh, remember in Egypt, the children of Israel, where Moses went through it. Huh? Because people think, listen, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. When we talk about this thing, it's in the Word. Exodus 10:21. Remember that. Exodus 10:21. 3 days of darkness. The children of Israel went through it. We're going to go through it, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Everything is in His Word. Job 5:14. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as in the night. Another confirmation. This is the third confirmation now. That in the noonday, my brother and sister, yeah, Job 5:14. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grow up in the noonday as in the night. My brother, what a mighty confirmation. Three confirmations, three different prophets. Three different men of God here confirming one another how it comes about. In the noonday. My brother, in the daytime, says Job. Daytime. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty Lord. Amos 4:13. He whom formed the mountain and created the wind, who declare humankind his thought, who turns the morning into darkness, thrives on the hay of the earth, Elohim of the nine. So again, my brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Amos, again, prophesy that this in the noontime, in the daytime, this darkness will come about. My brother, this is Amos 4:13. That is incredible. This displays of the power of God over the earth, where he will punish the wicked, my brother and sister, is a cleansing coming upon the earth before the 3 days, before the great last rain being poured upon the earth, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amos has his generation, his people, who are waiting for the coming of Messiah. My brother and sister, he asked him this question. Hallelujah. He said, woe to you who want the day of Adonai, the name of the day of the Lord. Why do you want it or want it? The day of Adonai, it is darkness and no light. Praise ye, Lord. This darkness also to us a type of a trial. Because we're waiting for the Lord to come and change us and transform us in a glorified body to go out for the last revival. But it comes with darkness. The Lord says through his prophet that his day will come with darkness. That the 3 days of darkness is indicating that the Lord is coming to do something mightily. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Something that people have not experienced. And how many of us say, we're waiting for the rapture. We're waiting for the departure. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. The day of the Lord comes with darkness. The 3 days of darkness are first. And then during that 3 days, the church is changed. The church is transformed. Look at it, it's like the seed being planted onto the earth. You plant the seed in the ground, darkness. And in 3 days, sprouts. Comes out. My brother and sister. Same thing when you and I, it's transformed, it's changed. From death to light. Oh, I thank you, Lord. That's what's happening here. Thank you, Lord. Amos 5:20. Won't the day about the night be darkness, no light, completely dark, with no brightness at all? Exactly. Exactly. Can you imagine what's saying? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And in the 3 days of darkness, that's going to get a lot of people. Wait a minute. They were saying the Lord coming. Well, how come we got this pitch black darkness that you can feel on the earth? Don't worry about it. God has a plan. He has a plan. He said it through his prophet, it will be this way. My brother, it has to be this way. He has to bring a cleansing. My brother and sister, he has to do this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. According to Exodus, God did this in Egypt to display his powerful hand upon the Egyptian. My brother and sister. And to show the children of Israel his mighty hand. Hallelujah. Zechariah 1:15. That day is a day of fury. Listen to what the prophet Zechariah now says in regard to that specific gloom, 3 days of darkness. You're going to hear it. Watch. That day, a day of fury. It sounds like a peaceful day. It's a day of fury for them that are in darkness. Not for the bride of Christ. Stay in prayer for 3 days. That day is a day of fury. A day of trouble in distress. Sound familiar, beast-eating people? A day of trouble in distress. Another translation said, a day of judgment. Those 3 days are days of judgment. God is going to remove his enemy from the earth, the wicked, the evil, that's been here for a while. And as he removed them, what's going to shock people is the number of people that will be removed. It's going to shock you. We talked about this years ago on the Lord's Hour. How many are and how many are not? How many are and how many are not? And in the 3 days of darkness, once they're finished and you look, you're not going to see much people left. You will be shocked to the core of your being. In those 3 days of judgment, my brother and sister, that are the people that will be left. Okay? Don't let it break your heart. Pray for peace for your own. Because God is doing something new on the earth, the Bible says. Zechariah 1:15. The day of fury, the day of trouble in distress, a day of wasted in desolation. Now, the Lord rebuked me this week. My brother and sister, the beasts are going to eat those people. In case you're wondering what's going to happen with the body, the beasts are going to eat them. The Lord rebuked me this week. And the reason why he rebuked me this week is I was reading the prophecy someone sent me. And she said that an earthquake is going to happen before the great day of judgment. And the Lord, as I went in prayer with the Lord, he said to me, remember what I showed you. That how it will come about. And when he showed me, I saw a tsunami happening before the 3 days of darkness coming through Florida. Okay? And he says to me to stay with what he has showed me. And of course, we know a tsunami is a sea earthquake that makes a tsunami. Now, someone where they live may experience an earthquake. Where I am, eastern part of the United States, we're not going to experience the earthquake. We're going to experience a tsunami. And this is why us being here and other people being in another part of the United States or another part of the earth will experience maybe an earthquake, but we are going to experience a tsunami. So this is why I need to stay with what the Lord has shown us, because that is to prepare the people of the eastern part of the United States that a tsunami before the 3 days of darkness coming, as the Lord had me say on the Lord's Hour. So I have to be careful not to be repeating what the Lord has said to someone else, because that's where their word is for where they are, their location. Okay? Like people in California will experience an earthquake. People on the eastern part of the United States will experience a tsunami. Totally two different things. Okay? Two different things. My brother and sister, tsunami brings water. They're bringing is destruction. Okay? So the Lord says, he very specific to me, to stay with what he has shown me. okay? And I'm sorry, Lord. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, I'm sorry because I should have asked the Lord even before I said it. Sometimes I get myself in trouble. God be merciful to me, my brother and sister, because we have to stay with what the Lord is saying. Okay? We have to stay with what he's saying. Okay? Because different, the words are different, but they apply to different situations, different state, different timing, different song. Very important that we stay with our song, the eastern part, and explain how things are going to be so we don't miss the word of the understanding, because it is for us to be prepared. It is for us to be ready to know these things are coming. That need to be ready, and we need to be prepared. That is why the Lord is giving it away. He's giving it to us. He's not contradicting himself. It is that it applies to different occasion or different song or different situation, my brother and sister. So that I wanted to. Okay, so the prophet Zephaniah says, it's a day of fury, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasted desolation, a day of darkness and gloom. There you go. Okay? Now, I want you to see something that the prophet Zephaniah points to, that you have to notice this, because I said it before, or God shows to us when he, as he did it through Moses in Egypt. I want you to see something here. Okay? I'm going to begin the verse, and then I'm going to finish it. It's a day of fury. It's a day of trouble and distress. It's a day of wasted desolation. It's a day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick fog. My brothers, notice now. Notice now that thick fog, you won't be able to drive. I have tried to drive in thick fog up here in the mountain. It's almost impossible. You have to stop. You have to stop. You cannot drive in a thick fog. And this fog is totally different than the one we got up here. It's worse. It's thick. It's a darkness that you can feel, said the children of Israel. Say God through Moses. So imagine something you can feel is so thick that you can feel you cannot even see your own hand. How are you going to drive through that? How are you going to walk through that? It's impossible. This is why God wants us to stay put. Stay at home. Have your lights at home. Stay inside. Close door, close window. Covers your window, covers your door. That keeps the children from looking outside. Okay? Keeps the children from looking outside. It's a day of waste and desolation. Whatever these beasts does, bite people, eat people, kill people, okay, you don't need to see it. You don't need to experience it firsthand. You don't need to be there watching it. Okay? Stay at home and pray with God. Ask God to send an angel and protect you and your family. My brother and sister, this has been announced for thousands of years. It's not like it's something new. God has been saying it through his prophet for thousands of years. Now it's about to come to pass. When COVID-19 began, was it announced? God told me a plague was coming upon the earth. In 2019, when God brought me down from heaven, God said that the plague was among us, and I came. And a sister says to me in the Spanish program, Brother Elvie, I've been listening to you for 5 years. You've been saying that this plague is coming upon the earth. I don't see it. I don't know where it is. This was back in October, September 2019. You keep seeing this on the Lloyd Tower. I don't know why you keep seeing this, Brother Elvie. You know, it's not that I want to doubt that you are a prophet of the Lord, but you keep saying that this plague that is coming upon the earth, and some people say, you're crazy. Do you know the technology we have here in the United States? If such a plague or virus come on the earth, we will be able to stop it quickly and get it under control. And I said, God said this will be all over the earth. And I remember in November of 2019, sister said to me, Brother Elvie, there's a virus beginning in Wuhan, China. And I heard you saying that God told you this was among us already. So does it mean that the one starting in Wuhan, is that the virus that's going to go around the earth, the plague that you've been talking about and preaching about in the Lord's Tower? And I said, sister, if that virus began in Wuhan, China, you can believe it will be all over the world. But Brother Elvie, even the Chinese will stop that and not let it get out of their country. I said, sister, God told me it will be all over the world. Okay, brother, we'll see. In 2020, by February, January, she contacted me and said, Brother Ovi, I'm sorry. And a few other people that call me crazy. I'm sorry, Brother Ovi. It's already Italy and France. It's practically all over the world by the second month of 2020. You were right, Brother Ovi. And it seems like they're not stopping it that easy. You were right what God was showing you. My brother and sister, God is never wrong. Everything in his timing. And when he says to us to prepare and be ready, you can be sure it's coming. These 3 days of darkness, God has spoken for several prophets on YouTube. Sister Barbara, he told me the other day, Sister Celestial, he's been speaking into his prophet more often now than ever before. Why? Because it's close. It's close. It's about to come. He spoke to me yesterday and says to me to read this here on the Lord Tower, Matthew 16, the red cloud, that I said, you know, Brother Ben mentioned it to me. I don't know who else mentioned it. And I said, you know, if I said to Brother Ben, Brother Ben was sitting next to me. I was in my computer in the Bible looking for it in the Bible. I said, if the Lord's saying we're going to have a red cloud before the 3 days of darkness, it's got to be in the Bible. And when I got to Matthew 16:3, Jesus said, this is what I want you to tell them. He spoke it to me right there. Okay, Lord, I will. A confirmation clearly, the red cloud. There will be a red cloud. There will be a red cloud before the 3 days of darkness. And by the next day, it begins 3 days of darkness. It's close. God wants us to be ready, be prepared, especially us that have children. Don't take it for granted if you have children or if you love your dog or your animal. You let them go outside in the 3 days of darkness, they may be killed. They may be killed. So it's important that God wants us to protect the things we love, the animal we love, the people we love. I don't want to send my children to school during the 3 days of darkness. So I'm asking the Lord, been asking the Lord to show me, to direct me, to let me know before they come. So I don't want it's going to be hard to walk to school. So I don't want to send them to school. I want my children to be safe. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Psalm 18:10, he lowered heaven and came down with thick darkness under his feet. In other words, Messiah, Jesus is coming during the 3 days of darkness. The darkness are coming under his feet. They will be on the earth while the beast devour the people, the wicked. Once the beasts are done and the 3 days of darkness are over, during that time, he is changing and transforming his bride, my brother and sister. The bride comes with glorious body, angelic body, but the rest of the people, the wicked, the beasts are eating them already, my brother and sister. That is incredible. And it's in the word of God. Psalm 18:29. For you are the night, light my lamp. Adonai, my God, light up my darkness. Hallelujah. He will be with us during the 3 days of darkness. We don't need to fear. We don't need to be afraid. Let's say some of you, if you cannot get any candles or any light that you may use, any lamp that you can use, then remember to keep the most important lamp on, and it's your relationship with the Lord. Okay? My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Now, Psalm 104:20. Let me look this up in another translation, because it says that when the darkness comes, the animals go crazy. There's a howling going on in the 3 days of darkness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says, Psalm 104:20, you bring darkness and at night, and it's night, the time when all the forest animals prowl. Hallelujah. My police is howling, the word that I use is. Right when he brings that darkness, praise the Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. So it's a type of judgment coming on that night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord makes darkness and become night which prowl about every wild beast of the forest, my brother and sister. So I guess the animals of the forest, the wild beasts, are going to experience this darkness in such a way, my brother and sister, they're going to go crazy. The howling are going to be heard everywhere, my brother and sister, for some reason. Hallelujah. During the darkness that the Lord is bringing. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Psalm 105:28. He sent darkness, and the land grew dark. They did not defy his word. Hallelujah. So again, it is a type of judgment. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Job 5:14. They meet darkness during the day, groping at noon like the night. Praise the Lord. Howling is another word it uses. Another translation. The animals are doing howling. They got great sound. Dog will be barking. All kinds of things are going on during the 3 days. Animals can feel that thick darkness coming on them. And I guess it brings tremendous fear all over them. That's why keep your pet close to you during those days. My brother and sister, they meet darkness during the day. It's during the day happening. And the animals go crazy for some reason. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then Job also said in Job 10:21, before I go to the place and no return to the land of darkness, which is hell, death, dark, gloom, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Job 10:22, and the land gloom like darkness itself, dense darkness and the outer disorder, where even light is dark. Even light is dark, Job says, my brother and sister. And that's exactly what happened with the car lights. They was dim so dark. Electricity was not working anymore for some reason. And people were trying to turn on the light, and it was like turning it on or turning it off was the same to the people. And that's when the fear came on people. My brother and sister that were not Christian, that I was next to, and they were shaking on the fear. They didn't know what to run. They put their hand on their head, on their face, like, whoa. You know, when you trust the Lord, when you're under the protection of the Lord, if something like this happened, you know the Lord is keeping us and protecting us. That's his great promise. He's our shield. He's our protector. He's our helper, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Amen. So we trust the Lord. We trust the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Job 11:17, your life will be brighter than noon. Even in darkness will be like the morning. So there you go. Job said, at noontime, our light will be brighter than noon. So they will be totally in darkness. We will be in light. Imagine we come out of the 3 days of lightness and glorified body, shining for the Lord. Young and beautiful. Handsome. Okay? It's something for us to celebrate. I believe it is for us to humble, yes, during the 3 days of darkness, pray and even fast. Just keep ourselves for the Lord during the 3 days because, you know, we know the Lord is coming down. Okay? The angel of death came into Egypt, and so also came God. When you go back and read the Bible, God was protecting his children while the angel of the Lord was killing the firstborn. My brother and sister, it's a similar experience coming to the 3 days of darkness. He'll protect us, but he will allow evil to eat the rest. Hallelujah. Job 12:22, he disclosed the deepest recesses of darkness and bring light into the shadow of dark and death. Okay, he's going to reveal this to us because he wants us to be trusting him no matter what. Hallelujah. Now, Job 12:25 said they grew up until darkness make them stagger like drunk. My brother and sister, some reason, according to Job, in the 3 days of darkness, people will be acting like drunk. And I noticed that people were losing their sense. Something is going to affect them demonically in the 3 days of darkness. And you know what I was thinking also? That's because people are vaccinated. In the 3 days of darkness, there's something that triggers the vaccinated ones. And so I didn't know what triggered. Well, I believe the darkness triggers something in the vaccinated that makes them go crazy. And so I was thinking that. And so when I read this verse here, and he makes them stagger like drunk, Joe says, my brother and sister, it's a change of behavior. It is a change of behavior during the 3 days of darkness. For what reason and what purpose? What causes this? And this is the question, my brother and sister. What is causing them to change? It could be the by seeing. My brother and sister. It could be the by seeing having an effect with the 3 days of darkness. They grow up in dark with no light. He makes them stumble like drunk. And stumble like drunk, I saw them, but behaving differently is the question. What makes them behave this way, my brother and sister? I believe it's the darkness. Hallelujah. Job 15:22, he despair, returning from darkness, he is destined to meet the sword. It's another verse, my brother and sister. During the 3 days of darkness, what does the wicked encounter? Death. Destruction. These beasts biting them, tearing them apart, and eating them. They meet the sword, says Job. Exactly. They'll be killed. They will be killed during the 3 days of darkness. So when sister said, what about the homeless? Pray for them. Intercede for them. Go to the Lord to have mercy for their soul. Go to the Lord to have mercy. Whoever you pray for and intercede, the Lord can keep them and protect them if they're human. There's so much that people don't know and understand, but we trust the Lord through all this. And however God is going to cleanse the earth in the 3 days of darkness. What do we say? Let his will be done, because this is not new. The 3 days of darkness, I'm reading to you a bunch of verses that confirms it, is not something new. It's something coming on the earth, my brother and sister, that was scheduled to come in the last days. So the question is, God, knowing who will be on the earth in the last days, scheduled these 3 days of darkness to come, and is speaking it through his prophet and confirming and revealing it to his word. Let his will be done, because we think that all poor people that are going to be killed and die and be eaten by these beasts. No, don't think that way. Don't think that way. And I say this, because Father, who is more loving and caring than you and I all put together, is cleansing the earth to bring his revival. Let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My brother and sister, he knows what best for humanity. He knows what best for us. You know that all these demons and human body are a stumbling block to humanity. Well, he's going to remove them from the earth. They will not be a stumbling block anymore to you and I. And when he does, you're going to feel a freedom on this earth like you have not imagined, have not felt in all your life. The freedom and peace and deliverance that you are going to see and experience on this earth, after God cleanses this earth from all these demons, you are going to praise him for eternity for it. Okay? You are going to thank God for doing this cleansing. He's bringing the 3 days of darkness. You're going to thank him. You're going to say, oh, merciful God, you are so good. You knew what we needed. And in order to bring your peace and love, you have to remove this evil. That's exactly what he's doing. He's removing all wickedness. He's removing all evil from the earth. He's cleansing the earth from one corner to another. My brother and sister, before he pulled down the spirit upon all flesh, last rain he's bringing. Let his bring, hallelujah. My brother and sister, let his bring his rain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 16:15. And the lies of the king's countenance, there is life. In his favor is a cloud, a ladder end time rain. Let me put it in the shadow for you to see his mercy, for you to see his grace. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. That's Proverbs 16:15. Look what our Messiah bringing with his countenance. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Brother Michael. Praise you, Joseph. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. In the light of the King countenance, this life, that's Messiah Jesus. In his favor is a cloud, a ladder, end time, rain. He's bringing his end time rain out of his own countenance. His favor, a cloud, a lot of rain. He's doing us a favor. He's doing you and I a favor by cleansing the earth of 3 days darkness. Hear my favor, children. I'm going to cleanse the earth for you so you can go out and win the soul. Amen, Lord. The tremendous peace, tremendous presence of God, tremendous power of God on this earth, like the earth had not experienced since the beginning. And you're questioning, all these people, that other people, oh, Lord. No, you need to understand that God has given this humanity thousands of years of mercy, and they have stepped on it like dirt, my brother and sister. He's cleansing the earth. Let his will be done. You will thank him for all eternity, what he's about to do on the earth. Thank him when he removed the evil, the wickedness from this earth. My brother and sister, hallelujah. It will be a celebration for us because God knows this is what we need. This is going to give us peace and joy in the middle of a transformation and glory that he's bringing to us. My brother and sister, he promised it to his prophet. Why will he not fulfill it? Promised it thousands of years ago he would do this, that the day of the Lord will come with darkness. And that's exactly how it's coming. 3 days of darkness. It has the day of the Lord is coming. And to cleanse the earth with judgment, fury, devastation. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Let his will be done on earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Job 15:30. He will not escape from darkness. The flame will dry up his branches. His breath from the mouth of God, he will go away, says the Lord there. They will go away. This is how they're going to go away. This is how wicked is going to be removed. This is how God's going to remove the wicked in order to begin his revival. It's a short season revival before the rapture, departure, before the bride goes. My brother and sister, the bride is about to go, has a final job to do for God. He told me I'm part of it, been chosen for it, and many of you are. My brother and sister, Jesus did spoke to me last week. When we were talking about coming down from heaven to the millennium, he says, not everyone is coming down. Okay? So he wanted me to tell you that. Not everyone is coming down to the millennium. Not all of you are coming down. Very few. And you know, I can name some of you I saw in the millennium. And I named some of you before, years before. So, yes, this revival is for a short time, for a short season. The revival and the day of Pentecost were very short, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And so, let the will of God be done and know this, because God knows what we need, what the earth needs, what people need, the cleansing the earth needs. My brother and sister, you see people that you try talking to them about the Lord, getting ready to see God, and they'll reject the word right out of hand. Right away, they'll reject the Lord. God had enough with it. People rejecting his son, his gospel. Okay, his word. He had enough of that. He's not going to stand for another thousands of years for people to keep rejecting his my brother and sister, his son. He's not going to stand for that anymore. Okay, he's cleansing the earth. Let his will be done. It's best for all of us. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joel 18:18, he will push from light into darkness and driven out the world. My brother and sister, look how he's going to drive them out, or drip them out. pushing the light into darkness. Okay? Hallelujah. So, that's it for them. That is it. It. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Job 20:20 says, a total darkness laid up on the treasure, fire famed by no one will consume by him. And calamity awaits what is left of his tent. No way they can escape. There is no way. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Here's the confirmation for the tsunami. Job 22:11. Out of darkness so that you can see a flood of water that cover you up. That's Job 22:11. Talking about the darkness and talking about the tsunami that is coming before the darkness. Job 22:11. My brother, so you can see a flood of water that covers you up. In the darkness, you will not see. You cannot see, says right there. In a flood of water that covered you up. The tsunami. Right there in that verse. One verse. Confirming the tsunami and confirming the 3 days of darkness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Job 22:13. Yet you say, what does God know? Can he see through thick darkness to judge? Look at the question of Job. In Job. Of course God can see through the thick darkness. And of course he's going to judge them during the 3 days of darkness. That's why he's going to allow the beast to eat them. He is the one doing this. He is the one cleansing the earth. Removing the wicked and evil. My brother and sister. Don't be surprised if you don't see people and politicians on television anymore. Or people that used to go on TV if you don't see them anymore. And the beast have eaten them. If he is your governor and your leaders and your representative and your mayor, and if you don't see them anymore because the beast are eating them, God knew exactly what he was doing. My brother and sister, if you don't see Pelosi anymore, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if the beast eat them during the 3 days of darkness. My brother and sister. Big changes are coming. Big changes. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now, look what Job said, which is for us, the children of God. Job 23:17. My brother and sister, this is what Job prophesied. He says, yea, I am not cut off by the darkness. He has protected me from the deepest gloom. So we, the children of God, are protected during the 3 days of darkness. That's the verse right there that confirms it. We're not cut off. Why? Because the rest of the wicked ones are cut off. Look at the word he used, cut off. Cut off. No more. No more. They're no more. He cuts them off. He removes them. Because that's what it is, a cleansing. He's bringing a cleansing on the earth for 3 days. Okay? There will be a lot of people you are not going to see after the 3 days of darkness. You may look for them, nowhere to be found. Okay? They might be in the list of the most wanted or the lost, but they're not going to find them. My brother and sister, because the beast ate them, and the beast are going down again to the pit. So in order to find them, they have to find them in the belly of the beast in the pit. That's where they're going to be. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Yeshua. It's coming. Hallelujah. It is coming. It is coming and it will not delay anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Job says in 34:22, there is no darkness, no death-like gloom where the wrongdoers can hide. Can they hide from the 3 days of darkness? The wrongdoers, Job said. Job asked. The answer is no. They cannot. They cannot hide. So that means that their homes, where these beasts are going to jump through the windows, because I saw one of them break through a window into someone's house. And this is the part that made me nervous when the Lord showed me last week the 3 days of darkness. Because one of the, I believe it was the tiger I saw, was one of the beasts. I saw when the beast jumped through someone's windows to eat someone that was in their homes, a glass window. It broke through the glass window to eat this person. And that's when I got nervous and scared. But I noticed that one of the beasts turned to look at me because I was walking to go meet Brother Ben. But I had a hitch on me that the beast saw my brother and sister that could not eat me, could not attack me. So we, the children of God that dwells under the shadow of the Almighty, were protected. But this person, I believe, was not Christian. Because this beast broke through the window. The person was standing like in the living room. It walked through the window, and it jumped on this person to bite this person, to eat this person. And that's when I got really nervous. I was like, can they do that? This beast just jumped through the window of this person to eat this person. I was standing in the living room. This is why repentance now is a must. And to ask the Lord to protect us with a hedge of protection and a wall of fire and send his angels around us. Okay? Because when I saw this really made me nervous as I was walking down the street to go meet Brother Ben. That to me was a clear understanding the Lord needs to be protecting us. It has to be the protection of the Lord. It cannot be, oh, I'm in my house, it cannot come in. No, because this beast jumped through the window and easily broke through the glass window into this person's home. And the person was fighting the beast on top of it, biting the neck, eating them. I didn't have much time to see more, but I saw when the beast jumped on the person. I saw the person had like a clear curtain over the window, and when the beast jumped through the living room, it broke easily through the window. The person was standing. The person was shocked, like, whoa, it got into my house. The idea is not to let them come into your house. But you notice that unless you have the protection of the Lord, you're not protected. Unless the Lord is protecting your house, hallelujah, your house is not protected. You got to remember that. This is why what we're preaching is a must for people to be repenting. This is not a joke. This is no game. This is life or death. And Elisha told the people, choose life this day. Choose life this day. It's not a joke. Not playing around. This is serious, my brother and sister. Because your house may be protected as a believer with the Lord. But someone else out there breaking in to eat them and bite them, to bite them and eat them. So you see? And you'll hear the broken glass anyway. This is why it's going to bring so much fear. Because if you got neighbors around you, and you hear this beast jumping through the window, you hear the broken glass. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Then, you know, and to also pray for your animal, yes, to be protected. Okay? And so much more. Praise you, Yeshua. It is the Lord that we need to have over our life, our homes, protecting us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. He is our protector and our keeper. Hallelujah. Job 38:17. Have the gates of death been revealed to you? The gates of death like darkness? God says to Job, and that is the question. God is the one who reveals it to. Hallelujah. To us. There's no way for us to know. And he's revealing us these things in the last days. My brother and sister. For us to be ready. For us to be prepared. Hallelujah. To keep looking for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Job 38:19, which was laid to where light has a home, in darkness where does it well dwell. So you have a place where darkness dwells. but you have a home for the light. Children of the light have the home, and children of the darkness will have the home too. In other words, there's a separation, a home for the light and a home for, and a dwelling for the darkness. If they're already dwelling in darkness, they're not repenting, they're not seeking the Lord, the bees are going to eat them. They're going to jump through the windows. They're not going to be able to stop these bees because these bees look unstoppable. They move unstoppable. I saw how one of the bees jumped through this person's car windshield, which are, windshields are very strong. They're not just like your car window. Their windshield is very strong. It needs to support when you go in a high speed, 200 miles plus an hour easily. And that's a lot of pressure being put on the windshield of your car. So they're made very strong. And these bees that I saw jumped through the windshield of this person's car, and it broke the windshield like nothing. It shattered over the car and grabbed the person, my brothers, from the steering wheel to pull it outside easily. So they're strong beasts, okay, that are going to be sent on this earth during the 3 days of darkness. The only protection is Jesus. It's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the only best protection you can have. That's why repenting is a must in the last day, my brother and sister. Cannot be put off anymore. Hallelujah. Lamentation 2:1, he enveloped in darkness at the night. In his anger, he made the daughter of Zion. He had thrown down from heaven to the earth the splendor of Israel forgotten. His footstool and the sanctuary in the day of his anger. My brother, he's not going to spare people, okay, just because you say, I'm an Israelite. Unless you're repenting to him and seeking him, it don't matter who you are. If you're backsliding Christian, not repenting and seeking God, the beast may come and devour you, simply. That's what he says in Lamentation 2:1. The prophet Jeremiah, he cried for his people. I don't know if you read the book of Lamentation. The reason why Jeremiah is crying, because they came, the Chaldean came, killed most of their army, and men and women, and took the young men, like Daniel, down to Babylon captive, in chain, my brother and sister. Only Jeremiah and a few of them were alive. And this is when Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentation, in tears. And Jeremiah says here that God in the darkness, he was anger. Darkness reflects his anger. Right now, like the Lord showed me Father the other day, walking to and fro, angry. He's bringing this darkness, my brother and sister, punish humanity like they cannot imagine. Hallelujah. And he says, in the day of his anger, the 3 days of darkness indicate Father's anger upon humanity, the unrepentant humanity who have rejected his son, have rejected his word, even the word through his prophet, and he's not taking it anymore. He's not having it anymore. He is not having it anymore. They have chosen their way, and he's going to send them their way. He's going to have these beasts eat them. And it may sound cruel to you, but enough is enough. He's not going to hold this for another 1,000 years or 100 years more. He has said it's enough. He decided to bring the end upon the earth and upon humanity, and that's it. No matter what people preach and believe, oh, this is not going to happen for another 100 years, they say. Huh? Oh, I remember people, oh, we're not going to see this plague before COVID-19 when I was talking about the plague coming. Oh, we're not going to see, I don't know why Brother Elby's talking about this, 2017, 2016, 2018. I don't know what Brother Elby's talking about all this. Because we're not going to see this is for the Great Tribulation, they say. And they criticized me, they called me false prophet. And I kept telling from God that the judgment was coming, a plague that will cover the earth will come. And it came. My brother and sister, now like in the times of Daniel, Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar that he was going to be turned into a beast to interpret his dream. He said, oh, king, he was quiet for an hour, Daniel. Shocked, surprised, because Daniel totally understood the punishment that was coming upon the king and said, oh, king, I will desire this for your enemy, not for you, oh, king. And God, that same year, the same year, my brother and sister, that Daniel told us this revelation of the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar, 12 months, and King Nebuchadnezzar were turned into a beast. My brother and sister, 12 months. Can see how things are being unfolding quickly. Okay? They are unfolding quickly. This earthquake in California, my brother and sister, I don't think we're going to pass 12 months before we see it, or the eastern tsunami. I don't think so. I could be wrong. This is me now. This is me. Okay? There's not much to be seen. Father says to me the other night, it's over. The Lord said it's over. God looked at me and said it was over with his fiery eyes. It's over, he says to me. And the Lord confirmed it. And the witness that you are matters established. He established this matter already that it's over. My brother and sister, now it's for his word to come to pass. I believe we live in the days of Daniel. Well, we see things happening within 12 months. I truly believe that. Again, my brother and sister, we'll see the unfolding of things coming to pass. Hallelujah. But we ought to be praying. We ought to be repenting more than ever, committing our life to him more than ever, being in the Word, staying away from all type of sin and disobedience. Is what God wants us to be right now. Staying away. Praying and crying to the Lord to keep us from falling. Fast. Ask the Lord to keep you from falling in sin. Any type of sin. You can name the sin as small and big. Ask the Lord to keep you from smoking, drinking, cursing, fornicating, adultery, stealing. Any type of sin. Beg him. Cry out to him, Lord, I want to keep myself for you, O Lord, holy and righteous, for your coming. Beg him, cry out to him. If you are committing any of these sins, you need to be in prayer crying out to him. Crying out with everything you have in you. Praying to him, asking him, begging him to stop you from sinning. Any type of sin of the flesh, of wickedness, of evil. Whatever temptation is coming, and you get on your knees and cry out to God. Cry out for mercy. This is the only way. The Lord is the only one that can keep us. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, without me, there's nothing you can do. Nothing. Exactly. We need to depend on him 100%. Cannot do anything without his help. And not make excuses for what we're doing wrong. Repent and stop our sinning and our evil. Lord, help us, Lord. Lord, I come in agreement with my brothers and sisters, Lord. Whatever sins, Lord, we are committing, Lord, we please ask you, Lord Jesus, to help us stop sinning, Lord, that we sin no more. Give us the strength, Lord, the desire to stop sinning and be holy and righteous for you every day of our life until your coming, O Lord. Jesus, help us. Merciful God, good God, help us to finish our race, Lord, in honor to you, Lord, to be changed, to be transformed in a glorified body and come to heaven, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Without you, Lord, there is nothing we can do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, the Lord. Mighty Lord, mighty Yeshua. Stop us from sinning, Lord, every day of our life. Any thought, imagination, any temptation of our flesh and body, stop us, Lord, from sinning unto the day of the rapture. In Jesus' name we pray.
We'll be a life pleasing to God. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, O God, mighty God, Lord, as you have asked us to do this work, we come humbly before you. And ask you, O God, to touch the hearts of your people as this word comes forth. Lord God Almighty, Open their understanding to the knowledge of the truth of who you are, Lord Jesus. Give them, O God, a sense of awe of who you are. But more than that, Lord, touch their hearts to turn away from sin, to look inwardly in their own hearts and come to that place, O God, that they will meet you in a place of peace, a place, O God, that you want them, because you are the Prince of Peace. Lord God Almighty, it is my prayer for the salvation of souls. Lord God, touch the hearts of your people and bring them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Again, God is making an appeal. He's making an appeal to us. He's saying, turn from your sins and live a life in Jesus Christ. As we go through today's scriptures and epistles, you will understand the significance of God's purpose. You will understand also that he hates sin, and we got to turn away. If we do not turn away from sin, we are doomed, and we are a trial of the devil. We have to understand that this is a spiritual battle that we are fighting. A battle that Satan wants to take our soul, and a battle that we have within us. As we grow up in this world, it is so full of all sorts of problems, and the attraction of the world is drawing us and drawing us away from God. At the time of Isaiah the prophet, he got a vision, and this vision was for Israel and for Judah and Jerusalem, the northern kingdom had gone into Assyrian captivity and were coming out. And he had a warning because of their rebellion. As today, people are rebelling against the Lord. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So we have to turn away from rebelling against the God and obey him. Obey Jesus Christ. Obey his word. And listen to what he says. He says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth the owner, the ass his master's crib, and Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupt, they are forsaken. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backward. Today, I want you to look around you. Look at the nations of the world and see what's happening because of sin, because of people turning away from God. Look at your own lives. Look at your family. Look at your neighbors. Look at your relatives. Look around and see you. The time is now. Time is short. Look at the judgment that God is bringing upon the earth. First to realize that he hates sin. And yet no one is listening. God is making a very, 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 I would say, strong appeal. He is doing this because he's spoken to someone recently concerning this, and he was upset. Really upset with people turning away. He said, look, I have brought these things upon the earth, and no one is still taking heed of me and what I'm doing. He said, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, evildoers, children of Belial, children of the devil. We have to turn away from sin. We have to turn away. He said, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Let us get our heart and our mind in the right place. God is making this appeal. He made it through the prophets to the people, that we may learn from what we heard. But we are sinful because we did not listen to the Lord. We did not listen. We have to understand, the sole to the foot unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burnt with fire. Your land, strangers devouring your presence, and it is desolate and overthrown by strangers. Look throughout the United States. Look throughout the nations of the world and see what's happening. All of these things are happening to us because we are not turning away from sin. We are not turning away from sin. We are not turning away from sin. We have to understand that God is not pleased. God is not pleased. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory and honor. The country is desolate. You see, the daughters of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts has left in this a small remnant. How many people have died? They're saying 5 million. It's over 8 million people have died. Most countries are not reporting their deaths. The deaths are more than we know. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have resembled Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is this multitude of your sacrifices? You say you're coming to me with these sacrifices, and you think I am pleased with it, when your heart is not turned away. One day, you're sitting in the temple of God, and the next day, you're worshiping everything else, and you expect me to be pleased, God says. He says, how can I be pleased? How? He said, turn away from your sins. I am a merciful God. I am there stretching my hands out daily unto you, and I need you to turn. I sent my son, Jesus Christ, and he died on that cross for you and for me. And he came and he suffered, and he went through all, and he taught us all that we ought to know. And through his word, he left us a testimony. And all the miracles and signs and wonders that he's doing, and people are not taking it on. They're not listening to him. And his heart is turned inside of him as an overturned cake. And he's saying, my people, do not reject me. The time is now. I do not want to bring destruction upon the earth. I do not want to destroy your cities. I do not want to kill people. But I am going to come against those who do not accept me. I am going to show you what I'm going to do. Now is the time. This is an appeal from God. This is not from me. And he's saying through his prophets that went by that they killed because no one wanted to listen to them. But at the end of all of this, we must understand God is a merciful God. But he hates sin. He said, if I spoke through the prophets and you did not listen. When I speak from heaven, how much more you think you should not consider that to be more important? He said, I'm speaking and I gave signs and wonders and miracles to show you that I am serious about what my son did for you and for me. He said, I'm serious that he gave his life. He purchased you with his blood, and you're not taking him on. But he has redemption through his son, if we believe in him. I want you to look at this in Isaiah 59, where there's a confession and also dealing with sin and redemption at the end of it. I want to pick it up from the first verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. God is our Savior. Neither is air heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. A lot of times we are praying and our heart is not right before God. We might be praying for a nation. We might be praying for our families and God is saying, I cannot listen anymore. I cannot. Because our heart is not right. We're doing things that is not pleasing to God. Get your hearts right. Come before God in earnest. God sees. There's no hypocrisy with God. You say your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity and your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues have murmured perverseness. None call it for justice, nor any pleaded with the truth. They trust in vanity. Vanity is worshipping anything apart from God, the true and living God in Jesus Christ. You speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Then he starts speaking about the serpent. He said, they hatch cockatrice eggs, and they weave spider's web, and that eateth the eggs and dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh forth into a viper, a snake. The webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts and the thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction is in their part. The way of peace they knew not, and there is no judgment in their goings. There's no justice. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. There is judgment. He said, therefore, the judgment is not far from us. And this is what we have to realize. God is warning us, and he wants us to turn. He wants us to turn. Understand. He said, therefore, is judgment far from us. True judgment, neither justice overtake us. We wait for light, and behold, obscurity. Darkness. For brightness, and we walk in darkness. We grope around walking, holding the walls like a blind man, because we cannot see, because we do not hold to the truth. We do not want the truth. We turn away the truth. No one wants to hear the truth of God, and when it is being preached, people don't even want to accept that. What they want is some prosperity gospel, something to feel good about. But this is to be good. Because God said, I am holy, I want you to be holy, for I am holy. We have to walk in the ways that he has laid out for us. We do not guide God, but God guides us, and we must go according to his ways. He has rules set out, and he has laws set out. And those laws are very simple. Accept his son, Jesus Christ. Love one another. This is his command. We are transgressing against the Lord. In everything that we do, we are tearing ourselves away from the truth. And we are holding on to lies that are leading us down the wrong path, that are taking us into hell. And no one cares. But we do. Because God has asked us to do this work. He asked us, and he put this in our heart. It's a burden in the heart that he has given us. That souls has to be saved. Souls have to be saved because it has to not nullify what Jesus did for us. but to glorify what he did for us, and to authenticate it, and to bring it to life, because God wants his son to be glorified in everything. We have to understand that these things were not done by chance. God did this in the perfect timing, and he doesn't want us to turn away from what he has prepared for us. In Matthew 5, he was teaching at the Mount of Beatitudes, and he was teaching them a new attitude in God. In the Old Testament, as we just read there, he brings judgment upon people, and in the New Testament, his mercy is there for us. He came with grace, and he came with love, and he came giving himself on the cross, so that is the greatest form of love. He said, no greater love than this, than man give his life for his friends. And this is the love he wants us to have, but also he has given us direction in order to turn away from sin. And in Matthew 5, he was saying from the 19th verse, he said, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and teach men, so he shall be least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever do teach them, the same shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no case or no way enter the kingdom of heaven. Now the Pharisees had a form of godliness, and they thought they were holding on to the law, which is the law and the commandments, which there were 613 of them, and they were following. They thought that they were holding on to them, but they were holding on to the precepts of men and not to what God wanted. God was looking at the heart of people, and he wanted them to turn to him and be saved, to understand his purpose, and that he's the one that God had written about through his prophets and through the Psalms, that he was going to come and he was going to bring peace on this earth, and salvation will be coming through him. He will bring reconciliation of us, since we were separated because of sin, as Isaiah pointed out, that we will come back to him and be reconciled to God, and that we will be looked at as righteous once we receive Jesus Christ. He said, you heard that it was said by them in old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. He said, but I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Listen to what he's saying. He's dealing with the heart again. Throughout the Bible, God deals with the heart. He deals with the heart because the heart brings actions after we think about something, and the way we think is the way we act. So God is dealing with us, and he's saying, I want you to see that sin is not the road to take. If you do not turn away, you're going to the hellfire. You are going down the wrong path if you continue to hold to the things of the world. You have to turn your life around and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to go into Romans 6, and you will see where he was dealing with sin, and in Romans, also in Romans 3, where he said the heart is evil, where we were not even holding on to anything that God wanted us to hold on to. When you look down and you look upon the hearts of men, let's look at it from this perspective. He said, But if our righteousness commend the righteousness of God, then what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge? For if the truth of God had more abound through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged a sinner? This is like an argument. But then he says something that's most important. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ. We have to come to that place to not only appease God, but to obey him fully. Obey him fully in what he's saying. How do we do that? We walk in his ways as he has pointed out. Today's message is a warning from God, is an appeal from God for us to turn to righteousness. Let us say a prayer. Let us first clean our heart by forgiving anyone that we have holding in our heart that we should forgive. And ask the Lord to help us forgive. And say this prayer of salvation with me and mean it with all your heart. Repeat it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, forgive me for all of my sins. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose on the third day. I believe only through you is eternal life. I believe you are coming again for us. I thank you, Father, for this love. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. That is the most important prayer you would have ever said in your life. Now receive your healing. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, touch your people and heal them of all their sicknesses and diseases right now in the name of Jesus. Touch and heal everyone, Father, from the crown of the head to the soles of their feet in Jesus' name. I want you to receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Understand that we are here on TVT every Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m. and on Sunday at 10:30 p.m. Please check YouTube as well. And know the truth, Pastor James. And continue to follow these programs each and every time in Jesus' name. Be good.
Occur. First, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Yeshua, Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Father, we pray that the word would be illuminated today, that the gospel will go forth and many will be born again, that many will desire to be all in, and that you will be glorified. And this we pray, in the name above every name, the name of Yeshua Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, I want to go first to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. But before I do, this applies when we talk about the rapture of the church, and it is imminent, meaning at any moment. 7 seconds, could I get through this message? 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 months. Do I know when? No. But we know this, that we are in the final moments of the end of days. I believe we are the generation that shall not pass. Someone who was alive on May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation, will be alive when the coming of the Lord occurs. Amen? And remember, there's a difference between the rapture pre the tribulation and the second coming at the end of the tribulation, when Christ will come back, speak the word, the nations of the world will go to the valley of Megiddo, Armageddon, and Christ will speak it, and it will be over. The bloodshed will be great. His feet will land on the Mount of Olives. It will split in two, and he will take his rightful place on the Davidic throne. Praise God. Well, to be, how can you be certain of heaven? How can you be rapture ready? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's very simple. We believe the word of God. There is an eternally self-existing God in the person of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Messiah, left glory, laid down his glory, was born of a virgin, wrapped in flesh, lived a perfect life. He never sinned, and shed his precious blood to pay our sin debt, the ransom price, once and for all. He died, was buried, conquered hell, death, and the grave, and on the third day rose from the dead. The instant, the nanosecond, the raptosecond, the zettosecond, you believe he is the Messiah, he shed his blood to pay your sin debt, and he rose from the dead, boom! That instant, you are born again and dwelt with Holy Spirit, saved, sealed, and sanctified until the day of redemption, heaven bound and rapture ready. I've done a video, Faith Plus Nothing Equals Salvation and Eternal Security. It is in the description box. If you need more information, please go watch that. What I want to, people will say to me, that's it? I just have to, because we know that when you admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior and believe on Christ, you trust in, are firmly persuaded that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, that what we just outlined, he did shed his blood and paid your sin debt once and for all sufficient, past, present, and future, died and rose from the dead. You believe he's the Messiah and the resurrection. That's it. Yes, that's it. Believe on Jesus. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm a whosoever. Are you a whosoever? Well, now for the believer, there is an event that is prophesied in the Bible, and it is like the perfect storm for the rapture of the church. And I'm going to be talking about some things going on in the world and sharing some rapture dreams with you, but I want to go first to 1 Thessalonians 13-18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. Now, when the Apostle Paul here is talking about those who are asleep, he's speaking about those who have died in Christ, believers who have died. We know they're alive. Their earth suit is still here, but they are alive in the presence of our King. Amen? So he says, I do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. See, we have hope in Christ. Amen? The gospel. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, believers who have been born again, who have died. God will bring him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Praise God. And also, 1 Corinthians 15, 50-53. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. So, the event, great event, and everything that has happened for the rapture of the church has happened. There's nothing else that needs to happen. So, the dead in Christ, they're all ready to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. They are already with the Lord. But since Christ conquered hell, death, and the grave cannot even hold the smallest unit of measurement of their bodies, the dead in Christ, and it will be caught up and transformed, and they will be given a glorified body. And then those of us who are alive will be caught up, and instantly, in the twinkling of an eye, we get our glorified bodies, and we will be like Christ. No carnal nature. We're going to be with him, and we will be. We are the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. Everyone, Jew or Gentile, who has been born again, we are the bride of Christ. And he's coming for his bride soon. Hallelujah. I've also done a video about the ancient Galilean wedding being a foreshadow of the pre-tribulation rapture. If you haven't seen that, you're going to want to see that. I want to explain a little bit more. So here, in 1 Corinthians 15:50-53, the Apostle Paul turns to the subject of the transformation that will take place in the bodies of believers, both living and dead, at the time of the Lord's return. He prefaces his remarks with the statement that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. By this he means that the present body which we have is not suited to the kingdom of God in its eternal aspect, that is, our heavenly home. It is also true that corruption cannot inherit incorruption. In other words, our present bodies, which are subject to disease, decay, and decomposition, would not be suited for life in a state where there is no corruption. This raises the problem, then, of how the bodies of living believers can be suited for life in heaven. The answer, in the form of a mystery, as previously stated, a mystery is a truth previously unknown, but now revealed by God to the apostles and made known through them to us. We shall not all sleep, that is, not all believers will experience death. I believe that's us, many of us. We're not guaranteed our next breath, but I'm telling you, we are the generation that many will not experience death. Some will be alive when the Lord returns, but whether we have died or are still alive, we shall all be changed, praise God. The truth of resurrection itself is not a mystery, since it appears in the Old Testament, but the fact that not all will die, and also the change of living saints at the Lord's return, is something that had never been known before. The change will take place instantly in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump or trumpet. The last trumpet here does not mean the end of the world or even the last trumpet mentioned in Revelation. Rather, it refers to the trumpet of God, which will sound when Christ comes into the air for his saints. When the trumpet sounds, oh, praise God, can you, does it just get you shouting? When the last trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised, will raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What a tremendous moment that will be when the earth and the sea will yield up the dust of all those who have died trusting in Christ down through the centuries. It is almost impossible for the human mind to take in the magnitude of such an event. Yet the humble believer can accept it by faith. We believe that verse 53 refers to the two classes of believers at the time of Christ's return. This corruptible refers to those whose bodies have returned to the dust. They will put on incorruption. This mortal, on the other hand, refers to those who are still living in body but are subject to death. Such body will put on immortality. So again, the dead in Christ, the grave, it will give up the dust that was their body, and it will be made incorruptible. And we who are alive, same thing, we will be changed. So both those who have died in Christ and are in his presence, but their earth suits are here, and those of us who are here alive, we're all the body of Christ. So those who have gone on before us, who are believers, do you know, Hollywood tries to depict them floating on clouds, playing harps, having wings. I hate when I hear people say, oh, now they're an angel. No, they're not. No, they're not. They are not angels, and why would you trade that? We are the bride of Christ. We will be like Jesus, no carnal nature, glorified bodies, and we will be, the Bible says, to the praise of his glory forever and ever, for all the ages and dispensations to come. Praise God. Now, I believe, now is the perfect storm for the rapture. Jesus said, watch the fig tree, that's Israel. The eyes of the world are on Israel, and watch the other trees, the other nations of prophecy. And what the prophets like Isaiah and Zechariah and Ezekiel prophesied 2,500 to 2,800 years ago has been fulfilled, is lining up right before our very eyes. I often talk about that. Now, I also want to say, I did a video this week, and it begins with, shame on you, Joe Biden. So if you haven't seen it, you can watch that. I will tell you, I am being highly censored, but who cares? I give all the glory to God. It's up to the Lord. He'll do with it what he wants. Praise God, praise God. These world leaders, this evil agenda, now we pray for everyone. The Bible tells us in Timothy, pray for kings and those in authority, right? We pray for all men everywhere with prayer and supplication, and pray for kings and those in authority. You don't have to like. I don't like this illegitimate administration in the United States of America, but I pray for that office, and I have prayed for their salvation. Now that, I do that, in a, you know, according to the word of God. Now we have free will. It's up to them. Will they believe on Jesus? And I can only imagine the depth and influence of the principalities over Washington, D.C., and over major capitals and leaders in the world. There is a deep state global shadow government. Things are not falling apart. They're falling into place. Even so, we are the body of Christ, and it is now time, and I am telling you, the Lord has been clear to me, it is now time for the body of Christ to rise up, to withstand, and having done all to stand, we need to pray. We need to know our authority in Christ. He is the head. We are the body. We are seated in the heavenlies positionally in Christ. Therefore, all power, dominion, rule, and authority is under our feet. Pray Ephesians 1:17 through Ephesians 2:7. Make it your prayer. Take your seat of authority. Praise God. We are here, God ordained, in this while sobering, most exciting time in church history, and Jesus Christ is coming soon. Until then, we occupy and redeem the time. And God has shown me, he is about to show out. For those believing for a Reed Sea, many call it the Red Sea, but the translators changed it. It's actually the Reed Sea. For those believing for a Reed Sea moment, I believe it is at hand. Remember what I've said. An awakening can happen in an instant, in an hour. And I believe God for it. And we should be praying for an awakening to God, because it is time to board Rapture Flight 777. Jesus Christ is coming for his bride, and it is in short order. Now, these leaders, watch that video I did. These leaders of the world who are shaking their fists, thinking that they have authority and control, mocking and laughing and mocking our holy God. God is sovereign, he is in control, and he is about to show the planet who is sovereign, who is Almighty God. And even now, the Holy Spirit is saying to tell you, Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies. And when God says that, he's saying, I will take everything at my disposal in heaven, and I will make it happen. Remember, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. The spiritual battle has been going on in heaven, but the Lord says the victory is won. And if you will believe God, you are going to begin to see these things play out in the physical realm. And we are the glorious church. We're going to go from glory to glory to glory to ultimate glorification. Will you believe God for it? I do. Regardless, I'm all in. I'm not saved by being all in, and there's no glory to me, all the glory to God, because we can do nothing apart from Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, whoo, things are happening like never before. In every area, it is a perfect storm, showing us the truth of what the Word of God says, that we are in the final moments of the end of days. Do you know that this past week, by the way, I hope you're praying for Israel, there have been terror attacks as Hamas and as jihadists are calling for an intifada and calling for those committed to the intifada to rise up in all nations. Local Arab Muslim preachers and mosques inside Israel predict, according to calculations based on some Quran verses, that Israel will be completely destroyed by July 8, 2022. Now, don't believe that. That is not true. I'm going to tell you how we know, because the Bible tells us Israel will survive. But what I'm pointing to is, they're actually giving a date now. Remember, the eyes of the world are on Israel. Satan hates Israel. What does he want to do? He could not. Satan could not prevent through minions throughout the ages. He couldn't prevent the seed coming down, right? The prophecy in Genesis 3:15, the enmity between Satan and referring to when he says, to Eve, her seed. Women don't have seed. They have eggs. He was referring to the Mashiach that would come. That was prophetic. Satan wanted to stop it. What did he do with Pharaoh? He wanted all the Hebrew boys to be destroyed. What did he then want to do with Herod? He wanted all the Hebrew boys to be destroyed. Why? Because he wanted to stop Christ from being born and from fulfilling his purpose. But you can't stop what God, all sovereign, all knowing, all powerful, almighty, has declared. Then Jesus was born, and he grew, lived a perfect life. Do you remember when he was tempted in the desert? What was Satan trying to get him to do? To not go to the cross. I can imagine when our precious Savior suffered and died for us, and I'm not going to go into the agony that he went through, because it was, what he did for us. I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. We love you. For all eternity, the rest of eternity, we will shout and sing your praises and worship you. Worthy is the Lamb of God who was slain. Thank you, Jesus. And you rose again. Hallelujah. He did that for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made him, who's him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so Satan couldn't prevent him from doing that. I imagine when he died and was buried, he conquered hell, death, and the grave. I imagine Satan and all the demons were shouting and their arrogance and pride thinking we have a victory. But praise God, on the third day he rose from the dead. Glory to God. Praise God. And what Satan, I firmly believe, is trying to do now, he knows that his time is short. You know, in fact, I say there are three that want the rapture of the church to happen. The bridegroom is eager to snatch, catch up, harpazo, rapture, his beloved bride. Satan wants us out of the way. We're restraining. He wants us gone. And we want to go. At least this guy here cannot wait until that instant, woo, glory to God, that we will be with our bridegroom, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Until then, we want to fulfill the destiny, the ministry, and the anointing, and increase the family of God as much and as quickly as we can. Praise God. We don't do that. Holy Spirit does that regenerating work, but we are privileged to be used by God to preach the gospel, to reach the lost, hallelujah, to love one another and build one another up, and to worship God in spirit and in truth. Well, they have now given a date. I was shocked. July 8th, 2022. The Arab social media is creating a buzz. Will this be a trigger to conflict? Look at the Israelis killed this week and what Hamas said, calling for Palestinians everywhere to unite for an intifada. We are in the final moment. Things are not falling apart. I've said this before. They are falling into place. Israel is fulfilling prophecies. They are jumping off the pages of the Bible. It would take more faith not to believe the Bible than believe the Bible. And Israel will stand. Don't let these claims make you fear. Don't let the fear of Iran having nuclear power make you think they're going to obliterate Israel. They will not. It's not going to happen. We know this from the Word of God. Nevertheless, we continue praying for peace and safety for Israel. We are seeing chain lightning prophecies, unprecedented since the foundation of the world. It's being manifested in the past year like never before. I mean, and we are. God's word tells us, literally, God tells us what would happen in these final moments of the end of days. We are that generation. We're seeing Isaiah 17, the prophecy that one day, Damascus, Syria, they'll go to bed, and the next day they will wake up and it will be in utter ruins. Ezekiel 38 and 39, those five nations of prophecy are there in Syria. And I believe the hook in the jaw, there have been hooks in the jaw with Russia even lately, but the hook in the jaw is going to be like when Germany said, we're going to cut off your gas supply, that pipeline. Do you know that one of the greatest natural resources for gas is in Israel, North Israel, Northern Israel, and the Golan Heights, which the UN, which is a precursor and part of building up this New World Order, and other nations that are coming against Israel, have said Israel is illegally occupying the Golan Heights. No, they're not. The deed to that land is in the Bible. It was President Trump, I believe it was 2019, who declared a forum that it was the rightful territory of Israel. And thank God for that. We've seen the diaspora, what the Bible talks about, Jews scattered throughout the nations, coming back in the past several years. They were dispersed from their homeland for something like 1,875 years. They're never going to be displaced again, brothers and sisters. No matter what you hear world leaders say, or you hear even believers say, they're going to, with, oh my, how horrible, they're going to blow Israel off the face of the map. No, they're not. The word of God is clear. So get out of that fear-mongering. Don't buy into that lie. His eye, God's eye, is on the city of Jerusalem night and day, and we know that from the Bible. Now, today is a little different because I said I wanted to share over the past couple years three rapture dreams I had. The first one, and I've shared this before, actually over the past 3 years, 4 years, I had it recurring. And in that dream, and my wife was, she's in the presence of the Lord, praise God. What she's experiencing now, we can only imagine. And she would wake me up, and I would be so upset in the dream, and it was recurring. When the rapture happened, I'm telling you, it was so quick, and it was just brilliant light. I don't even have words to explain, and we go up so quick. The only thing I could relate it to was like an amusement ride where your stomach feels like it's going to fall out. And I'm so excited, the joy, the excitement, the jubilation, the love that overwhelmed you. And then she would wake me up and be like, no, no, because I didn't want to be here. And when you experience that, you don't want to be here. Well, in one of the dreams, we had, we were raptured, and I can't describe our glorified body, but I knew I had the glorified body. And it was like a shedding. The last vestige of the carnal nature, praise God. I don't have words to describe the feeling. And we went before the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. You know, believers do not go to the great white throne judgment. We go to the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And it is not a condemning judgment. And it is where our works are tested and tried. It was like a big coliseum. And in the middle of the Colosseum, elevated, was Jesus, and he was the judge. And I'm going to tell you my experience, what the Lord let me experience, because it changed my thinking. It truly did. It humbled me. It changed my thinking. I wasn't being condemned, but my life, the things I had done, and we're not saved by works. We're not kept saved by works. We are saved for works. But we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, I'm going to add 10. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. For we are created unto his workmanship for good works, which he prepared or pre-planned beforehand. So we're not saved by works, we're not kept saved by works, we are saved for works. God has a plan for our life. But if you never do it, you're still born again, and nobody loses in heaven. All born-again believers, no matter what you're doing, it's by believing on Christ, his shed blood, and his resurrection alone. Solo fide, faith plus nothing, equals salvation and eternal security. I cannot say that enough. So, one event that really stands out to me, there were several, was years ago preaching at a youth event and doing things in the community in Austin, Texas. And hundreds of kids came up. And they said they believed on Jesus, and we prayed with them. And that work burned up. It was like, ugh, and things like that. And I'm thinking to myself, if that burned up, what's left? What's left? And because it was a knowing. And no condemnation, but it was a knowing. And the Lord showed me, what was the motive of your heart? What was the attitude? Because, you know, we were reporting, oh, hundreds of kids. It's Is that to glorify us? Is that to glorify the ministry that God has called us to? Or was it really about spreading the gospel? In fact, coming up and saying a prayer does not make you born again. Believing on the Lord Jesus that he is the Messiah and he rose from the dead, that's when you're born again. People can say a prayer and can be moved by emotion, but do they believe? The word for believe in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, that word is pisteuo. In the Greek, it means I am firmly persuaded, I trust and I have faith. And faith in what? That he is the Messiah and that he rose from the dead. Romans 10:9-10, if we confess the Lord Jesus with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart, man believes or believeth, the heart is the lev, the inner man, and is justified, just as if he never sinned, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The confessing is not what saves you. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's that believing, you are firmly persuaded, you trust, and you believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He shed his blood for your sin. He paid the debt once and for all, past, present, and future. Died, was buried, conquered hell, death, and the grave, and on the third day rose from the dead. You believe he is the Christ, the Messiah, and he rose from the dead. Boom! You're born again. That's it. Done deal. Heaven bound. Rapture ready. And so often people put, you know, it's about numbers. It's about great planning. It's, oh, what a great job. We pat ourselves on the back. Listen, what I'm doing right now, sharing the gospel, is when I'm plunging the toilets, and I mean it, in like the church, when it backs up, and it does at times, there are some old systems. We've done everything we can to upgrade that, but occasionally something will happen, and I'll go in, I'll see it. I don't wait for the janitorial staff to come and do that or call someone else in. I know how to use a plunger, and I'm doing it as unto the Lord. That is every bit as glorious as other things that I do as a pastor. When we do it with the right motive. And so those things burned up, but then the Lord showed me little things that I would have never thought about. I'm not going to go into them all, but little things like seeing someone hurting and Holy Spirit moving on you to say something to them or even just pray for them, but to say Jesus loves you. Hey, you look like things are not going well. Can I pray for you? It's sharing the gospel as the Holy Spirit inspired you. Just telling someone through a drive-thru, Jesus loves you. Or you know, someone paying for someone else. You just feel led to do that. And you tell them, please tell them, Jesus loves them. Things like that were so applauded, so expanded in heaven. Smiling at someone who looks down and out as the Holy Spirit led you. It's those things. Anything we do apart from faith in the Holy Spirit is a dead work of the flesh. And so you can do good things, but they can burn up. So I wanted to share that one with you because that really changed everything. It was shortly after that that the Lord gave me, to me, the mandate to remain, how to live and function in these final moments of the end of days. Remain humble. Be obedient. I want to be obedient to God. Doesn't save me. I'm already saved. If I don't remain humble, am I still heaven bound? Absolutely. It's a done deal because I trusted in Jesus. He's the Messiah and he rose from the dead. But isn't it our reasonable service? I don't know about you, but I want to run the last lap of this race, whether I breathe my last or the rapture, to his glory. He's worthy. He's the lover of our soul. And so the Lord told me, remain humble. Be obedient, carry no offense. Boy, offense has caused relationship breakup, family disputes, divisions in churches. The enemy will use that. Carry no offense. Carry no offense. He told me, be quick to forgive. And everything we do, do in the love of God. We'll stand on the truth. And we will call it what it is. And I'm telling you, these world leaders who are shaking their fists in the face of God and think they have it all planned, God is about to show out in a mighty way. He has told me that. And I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. And so that made a difference. Remain humble. Be obedient. carry no offense, be quick to forgive, and everything I do, do in the love of God. Lord has been telling me it is so important that we cooperate with Holy Spirit. And that dream really helped me change my thinking on all of that. There was another dream that was so real sometime later, and it was a dear sister in Christ, Sister Vonda Allen. She's a member of our church. What a mighty woman of God. She and her husband Bennett ministered together for over 50 years. Bennett is now like the loveliest bride in all of heaven. He is in glory now, and Sister Vonda is pressing on. It's been some years, and she immediately said, oh, this is what it means, because I was sharing with her. I knew it was, and I had several. I knew it was a rapture dream. I'm telling you, these dreams are, it's so real. It's so real. You're so active in it. So I'm driving this red sports car, and I'm driving fast. And I hit water, and I begin to hydroplane. And, you know, I call out to Jesus, and I'm fine. And I'm going so fast, like I'm going really fast. And I see a larger body of water on the road. And I know the storm is raging, and I know that it's going to hydroplane. But I went faster. I went as fast as I could. And I knew that the car was going to experience hydroplaning, but there was such an urgency to go fast. And as the car began to hydroplane, all of a sudden it got caught up in the light, and I knew the rapture had happened. And I'm telling you, as urgent in some of those dreams, when I shared the third one, Sister Vonda said, the car represents your ministry. And you're going out there and sharing the gospel, the precious blood of Jesus shed for the sins of the world, for all who would believe. He died, was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. They'll admit they're a sinner in need of a Savior and believe on him and his all-sufficient redemptive work. She said, that dream is clearly, you're going fast. God is taking your ministry, and you're going full forward to the very end. And then the rapture, I mean, it is imminent. And that dream really encouraged me. And then the one that I just had recently that I shared. I was surprised as a child, having grown up in southern New Jersey. Karen and I lived throughout New Jersey and New York, that area. And I was at a Phillies game at Veterans Stadium. But it wasn't like the Veterans Stadium I had been to before. And in the dream, it didn't even look like it. There were no players on the field. The game had ended, but it was still going. Does that make sense? Like the concession stands, the activity was still going on. The stadium had not shut down. But the game had literally ended, like it had just ended. The players were off the field. And the field had sunk. And there was an angel with me. I didn't see him, but he was giving me play-by-play. Even why Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, we are seeing the love of many wax cold among even believers in the season. And so the stadium had dropped so far down below the earth, and there was like hard clay and hieroglyphics, and it was representing this world system, everything in the world. And so there were others who were doing what I was doing, and we were giving out like these gold tokens, and they represented value. But it wasn't like people were earning a wage. The tokens represented the gospel, sharing the gospel. And some people had received, you know, a little bit. Some had received more. But the people had buried it. So you had the hard clay, but in the stands under their feet was more like sand, almost not quite like you would see at a beach, but sand. And they were burying them, and they were going in to celebrate and party in a worldly way. And people were doing what I was doing, giving out, and then they were going. They're like, it's time, it's time. They knew that it was time. By the way, in one of my rapture dreams, I want to share this also. I'm going to come back to this. In one of the dreams, it was so real to me. We knew it was time. And we weren't worn and battle weary from struggling with our carnal nature. But the world was celebrating like at the end of a war. I'm not kidding. They were honking horns and popping open champagne bottles and celebrating. They were all going in one direction. The bride of Christ, we had not yet been raptured. We were going. We were so serious, so intent. We knew where to go. And we were all coming to this beautiful opening with this light and the joy as we reached, because we knew it was time. And we were caught up. Oh, the joy. So many confuse that scripture when it says, and no, God has not told me when the rapture is going to be. Don't misquote me. Many confuse, though, that passage. In order to rightly divide the word of truth, you have to know who's speaking and to whom. When it's talking about no one knows the day nor hour, remember, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24 and 25, and Revelation 6 through 18 is dealing with the tribulation period. We will have already been raptured. So that's talking about the second coming. And no, God has not told me the time of the rapture. We know that we're in the final moments, and we know that Jesus is coming, and that's good enough. We're looking for our bridegroom to come, even as the tribulation, excuse me, and even as the millennium casts its shadow into this time period. So I wanted to bring that. But anyway, back to the Phillies game. So people are now leaving. People who had been witnessing, they're all going, and I'm pulling up. These people had thrown away, discarded, buried even, these tokens that were the gospel. And I'm uncovering them, and I'm frantic, and I'm hearing, Tim, you must come, you must come. And suddenly I knew I had to go in, so I go in, and there are people, and I'm trying to give them the tokens. Like, I woke up drenched in tears. And when I shared it the first time, I got very emotional, so I'm glad I'm not getting emotional. I'm not going to let myself go to that place, because I want you to get the concept of what I saw. So I'm trying to give them the tokens, because I know that it's time to go, and God would that all would be saved. God loves you fiercely and passionately. I implore you, beseech you, believe on the Lord Jesus today, if you have not done so. So anyway, the woman, I knew she was an angel. She's in like the concession stand. They're all going. They're continuing partying and going in a direction. And she said, Tim, it's time. And I mean, I was just weeping. I'm like, she said, Tim, it's time. And I go up, and it's like stairs or an escalator, and the light, the angels are all around the brilliance. And the moment they begin to usher me up, all that sadness is gone. The joy, the love, oh, the shalom of God. It is so amazing. I cannot even now, oh, I can sense it. And it is amazing. And it is going to happen, brothers and sisters. Time is of the essence. When it does, I'm telling you, all the cares will be gone. It is worth running this last race for His glory and His heart, God's heart. The Bible tells us is that all would be saved. We know they won't. We know from the word they won't. And for those who say, well, if what you say is true, if suddenly millions or billions of Christians disappear off the face of the planet and they'll have a good rhetoric, then I'll believe. I hope you do, because you will be saved during the tribulation. If you haven't believed now, you will be saved. You will be justified by faith, praise God. Do not take the mark of the beast. But I'm going to tell you something. You will not be the bride.